Hi, welcome to GamerCast, episode 141. Welcome, I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is GamerCast 141. For the 14th of December 2008.
It's nearly Christmas. I've just been soaring the ass end of my Christmas tree up, getting it into a stand ready for Christmas.
So sounds like a good waste of your afternoon.
Yeah, it was.
I just did Shadow Tools on heroic difficulty.
I know, I need to play well.
Just after I finish work tape.
Christmas is nearly here. I don't think actually this is probably the first year I've not actually asked for any video games. I'm asking for 24 box set. So I'm hopefully getting that in some Blu-ray DVDs.
What's a Blu-ray DVD?
Oh, sorry. Translation. BD-ROM.
That's better.
Yeah, so I'm getting some BD-ROMs in their blue boxes. And
I was talking to some dude, and you know, I just don't like the word Blu-ray. You know, we have to get it nerdy a bit. We have to say BD-ROM, not something the marketing department came up with. So it's BD-ROM, Blu-ray Disc Read-Only Memory, which is what it is. So I was talking to somebody today about it. They were asking about it, and I kept saying BD-ROM, and you could just see their look on their face. They were like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
Sweet.
So I was just really happy with myself.
I knew what I was going to talk about. Basically,
you're going to talk about your Thundercats t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, I've got a Thundercats t-shirt. No, I was actually thinking...
Who's that? That's Lion-O, isn't it?
No.
Oh, who's that?
That's Tigra.
Is it? What's Lion-O look like?
He's not on there. He looks like a lion.
That looks like a lion, though. So no, who are those dudes?
That's Chitara, and that's Panthera.
Panthera, yeah, I knew that. He looks like an orc.
Yeah.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got that orcish look. But yeah, no, something else I wanted to talk about just popped in my head that I was going to talk about on the show. Me and Sarah getting a joint present of her dad, and it's her birthday present as well. And we're getting a home cinema system.
Mm-hmm.
But not only is it for home cinema, it's going to be, because we want to have surround sound, we're only going for 5.1, we're going to go for 7.
5.1 is fine, 7.1 is too much hassle.
Yeah, 7.1 if... and when we upgrade to larger speakers, because we can always upgrade, because it's not a kit, it's bits and bobs bought together in a package.
I can actually do with a new receiver, a subwoofer and controller, actually.
Well, we went down to, not trying to advertise them, but a place called Seven Oaks, it's downtown, and they were very helpful because they have demo rooms, so they'll take you into the demo room, and if you book in time or they're empty and you grab one of the guys aside, they'll sit you down, and they, if you have specific things you want to see, they will hook them up and you can take your own BD-ROM films down, or they'll any DVD that you're specifically wanting to experience or watch their own, and you can listen to the setup and you're like, well, actually I was thinking about these speakers, so they'll unplug all the speakers, hook them all back up again, and they don't have any big trailing wires because they're all set up with plugs in all the area to plug it all up. So we went down, had a look, and we were having a look at this head unit and a set of speakers for our 40-inch LCD TV we got last year, which is like flaking out on sound. Especially when I'm playing video games, I can't turn it up too loud. So this is for home cinema experience, but also for the gaming experience of being able to zone myself out completely by being drowned in all the sound.
Zone yourself. Dude, you do have neighbors. Turn that down.
Well, no, that's the great thing about it is, because we are paying like 600 quid for this, well, her dad is paying for it.
Dude, my system downstairs, just the speaker, just one speaker I paid £500 for. That's why I say 5.1 is enough.
Yeah.
Because that 7.1 is an extra. I'm just kidding. That's ridiculous. I think the whole lot was 400 quid.
But the good thing about it is...
But it's half packed up anyway.
When we set it all up, we have to turn the volume completely down to zero on the TV because the sound will completely come out of the...
Don't you have an internal mute setting on your television?
We do have a mute, but I don't know if there may be an internal one. I've not actually had a look yet.
Well, it's just a lot of television nowadays, you put it on mute and it will show a stupid mute thing
and it floats around the TV.
But sometimes they have a menu on there as well.
Yeah, I'm going to have a look to see if there's a menu sort of thing. But,
are you going to push the sound through your TV and then from the TV out, or are you going to go directly from like your PS3 into the speakers?
It's everything.
So how are you going to do it?
Basically,
are you just going to do HDMI pass-through through the receiver on the speakers, or what?
The head unit has got 3 HDMI ports on it. Mm-hmm. So Xbox and PlayStation 3, which are the only things plugged in at the moment, will both all go into the head unit. Sound and video will be pumped out of there straight into speakers and the TV unit. So the TV will receive its video from the head unit, and then the sound will be pumped out through into the speaker. It also is running high definition sound as well. So if anything,
high definition. What a rip!
I know, it's a weird way of doing it, but it's the HD.
Well,
sound.
No, it's just for God's sake. There's no such thing as high def sound. If somebody's saying high def sound, they're talking bollocks.
It's just a better.
You know,
quality.
It's nice to have DVD quality sound.
Yeah.
Which is 24 kilobit per second, and if it's stereo, you can get up to 192 kilo. I don't know what it is, but whatever. I mean, you know, DVD sound basically.
Yeah, it's that higher quality up again. Some DVDs have it, some DVDs don't.
You know, DTS encoding is good on it, especially with BD-ROMs, you can have it uncompressed PCM as well.
Yeah, the good thing I liked about it was the fact that I got that home cinema experience, so that serious gaming experience, while not having to have the sound loud because it's hitting me from every angle. So I'm being drowned in this sound, feeling it.
Will happen is, you'll start it off quiet and you'll think, I can hear the fucking washing machine. Have to turn this up a bit more.
Yeah. Gunfire blazing. People will think that someone's being shot in the flat.
And then, of course, you're watching something on TV and an advert comes on and the advert is 3 times as loud.
Won't happen.
Dude, they say, my TV downstairs, it's got a... you know, volume normalizer thing, it doesn't fucking do anything.
Well, that's the thing, this has got
normalized. These auto things, they never work as well as they should.
Well, that's the thing, I'll do my review on it, because it's got a normalizer in it, so it'll sort that out.
Don't hold your breath for that, because yeah. I know what they're like. Both that and the system the software on my computer, they don't really do
well. Well, at some point, we'll have to...
You're still thinking, yeah, this is still a bit too loud, really.
We'll have to test it out and come round for a bit of a gaming session and see what you think for yourself.
So you're going to try and...
I want to see... I want
you're
going to
try and take your system versus my system.
No, I want
my system, which
opinion.
Is 7 years old, I still reckon can, you know...
I want your personal opinion on it.
My personal opinion is it must be really good. Because I know what you like. You do insist on having good stuff occasionally.
Yeah. The good thing about this demo...
Apart from your various products.
Yeah, my PlayStation.
Which I don't like.
But it's a Denon.
Hey, let's do a shout out to Falklore, who likes PlayStation. He actually thinks the PlayStation's better than the Xbox. Do you agree with that?
No.
Thank you.
I just like
the PlayStation 3. It complements the Xbox, but seriously, the multi-format games are all better on the 360.
Yeah.
PS3 is good for the couple of exclusives it's got. If you want a BD-ROM player as well.
Yeah, that's what I use it for.
Yeah, there you go.
I was
actually looking at getting a BD-ROM player. I think. They're down to about 150 quid now. Mm. I wouldn't get a PS3 one.
But the other good thing about
the electricity
it's got,
bill, it isn't worth it.
It's got a microphone you plug in, and you place.
So you can play SingStar.
No, you place the microphone in key points up to 7 points, and it will fire. It sounds like echolocation. It's weird. It sounds like some sort of sci-fi echolocation, and it's pumping it out, and the microphone's picking it up. And it basically redoes...
It adjusts the volume of all the speakers individually so that they're all balanced right.
Yeah.
And you see, this is called Windows.
Yep.
Room correction in there. We can do the same thing right here with Windows Vista. Or with Windows 7.
So yeah, that was quite cool. And we were looking at different head
units. Good, room correction.
Yeah. And one of the...
Low frequency
the
protection.
Yamaha one only did
loudness
one.
Loudness equalization.
And this one does 7 room corrections, which is quite cool. So it means we can set up for every room and things. So yeah, pleased with that. So upgrading my gaming experience. We pick it up next week. So obviously after Christmas when we come
back. See, it's funny you're actually doing that, because I was actually considering getting rid of my speakers. But I thought, you know what? They sound a hell of a lot better. But I'm going deaf in my old age.
I'm quite pleased with...
Like I said, the sub down there, if you turn it on fresh, the sub will make a really loud noise. Mm. It's 7 years old, it's on its way out. Sometimes after a couple of minutes, it will go quiet and that'll be it. But if you do that every day, because it no longer gets used for television. It's only for the Xbox. I use it now because I'm trying to like get it to last as long as possible. But when Fable 2 came out and I was playing it every day, gradually, further through the week I went, it had to be on longer for it to stop making noises.
Yeah.
So it's just knackered, basically. It makes noises by itself.
It talks to itself.
Even unplugging it from everything, all the separate speakers, everything, just have it plugged into the mains, it will still make noises.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
Maybe time for an upgrade.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, then I have to get this and I have to get that. And I need a new sensor speaker. I'll keep the 4 speakers I got. I'll get a new sensor one. Well, I wouldn't mind a, you know, control box of HDMI on it.
Yeah, I'm assuming because we were very...
Because mine's got one optical in and one coax digital in and one analog in. That shows how old it is, mate. It's got coax digital.
Yeah, this had quite a lot, so you're more than welcome to come and have a
yeah, I'll have a look at yours and
see what you think.
See if it's any good, because I mean, we've got our stands for the speakers and everything, so I wouldn't want to get rid of those. Because if I get new speakers, I'll have different stands and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we got.
Or I might just have a look to see if I can get a new sub on eBay, and that'll do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'm not sure if a TV, because I'm using HDMI from my 360 now, I'm not sure if my TV will send a 5.1 signal out. Because I think I read, back when I was looking at television, I think I read it on forums that even if it receives a 5.1 signal, it won't pass on a 5.1 signal. It only pushes out stereo through the optical out.
So you would need a new head unit and actually do what I'm doing, where you'd put your HDMI into your head unit and then send your sound out to your surround and then just send the video back to the TV.
Yeah, that was one of the things. I'm sure it was that television I was looking at, and that was one of the problems people have with it. But I haven't tried it out, so I don't really know.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the thing that I will be having.
So that's what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, so for Christmas,
it's Adam's house.
That's what I'll be
getting.
That's
10 minutes of the show. Adam talking about his silly presents.
So that will be what I will be reviewing for when I get back of my gaming experience with 5.1 surround sound.
I still reckon my system sounds better than yours.
You might want to upgrade when you see it. It's nice.
No, I will. I wouldn't mind having HDMI.
But we were very specific. We didn't want the grey one. It came in grey with grey speakers, and we were like, no. Well, the speakers were separate, and the speakers you could have black. You could order in grey. They had grey stands, and he was like, well, actually, we've got black stands, so we'll have 2 black stands. We're having black speakers, and we were like, can we have the head unit in black? And he's like, haven't got any in, so we ordered it, so it'll be in Tuesday. So we're going to go pick it up Saturday, sort of thing.
Right. Okay. How much are you paying for all of it, apart from the 4 speakers?
Well, the thing is, the shop sells everything separately. So there's no cable. You have to buy your cable separate.
I've got cable.
Separate. You have to pay your speakers separate. And
I've got speakers.
And you have to pay your head unit separate. Because that's the idea, is you buy what you want.
You buy the bits to put it together. Yeah.
Yeah.
So work it out for me. How much did you pay?
Well, I can't remember what they are individually.
Sub, sensor, speaker,
we paid for
receiver.
We paid for the receiver and this set of speakers together.
How much was the receiver?
I honestly can't remember, but receiver and speakers together as a package, it was a package deal. If you bought these speakers with this head unit, you got it cheaper. So we paid £600.
So the receiver would probably be half of that.
So it did not...
Receiver with the sub. I don't know, maybe. I'll have to have a look at some point.
But yeah, it was a nice deal that we were doing at the time. So,
Ashley, screw it, I don't care.
So yeah, that's what I'll be reviewing when we get back.
I'm saving up my money for a Scenarian War Hippogriff. I don't have time to spend money on speakers. Right, let's actually crack on with this. So,
okay.
News items this week. Chrome is out of beta. Chrome is Google's browser.
I was going to say, what the hell's Chrome? And then I was like, yeah, that's... It's out of beta. I was expecting it to be like the rest of their stuff, where it's permanently in beta.
Yeah, well, I think they've realised that if they want PC manufacturers to ship computers with this on, they need to lose that label. Although it's still only version 0.3. So it's not even a 1.0, but they just got rid of
it. So it's going to be one of those things that it is loaded automatically onto a Dell.
I'm sure that's what they were trying to do, yeah. But yeah, it's actually, I prefer it to Firefox, although I just use Internet Explorer.
Mm.
Because, you know, Internet Explorer, I mean, that's fairly clean looking.
Mm.
You know, it's not like Firefox. Firefox just looks ugly, then. I'm sorry, that's the only choice you have on a Macintosh.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, I actually prefer Firefox on a Mac than I do on a PC. It's nicer on a Mac.
Yeah, that's because the rest of the experience isn't as good, so you don't notice how bad Firefox is. So yeah, so it's only for Windows XP and Windows Vista.
Mm-hmm.
although I'm sure it does actually run on Windows 7. No, I don't want that. Let's just install it and see what happens. I like the installer on it. It installs in user mode, which I'm sure they've done on purpose so that people working for companies and stuff can just install this on their computers without needing administrative rights. Downloading Google Chrome. Downloading.
With a weird ball.
Yeah, the ball. That's a ripoff of Sonic. Yeah, that's the... Look. Red. Green. Blue. Yellow.
You just put one of the colours inside.
Oh, look, it's Falco. What is he on? He asked what level I was in WoW. No. Yeah, you can import my stuff. I don't care. So yeah, there's Chrome. You install. That's how long it took to install. It's actually a really fast browser as well. It's much faster than Firefox. So let's just go to a website.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a nice browser. It's really clean. I do like how the tabs work. So like Internet Explorer 8, it's got individual processes running each tab. So if one tab crashes, it won't take down the whole lot. It's not clever enough for that yet, though. No. But you can rearrange the tabs. You can even drag a tab out into a new window, which is actually quite good. And of course, you can drag it back.
Can you do that with Windows Explorer?
No. Only Google Chrome does that.
That is a specific feature they've been designing.
Plus, it's really clean looking. You know, it's got a
fairly... Seems all about the tabs.
Yeah, you've got the tabs above the address bar along the top of the window, which on Vista or Windows 7 is glass, and so it doesn't look too heavy. If you maximize it, it just goes like that. It's a really nice browser. I'd recommend it. Everyone use it over Firefox if they can't, you know, use Internet Explorer. Mm-hmm. Even though Internet Explorer is fine, you know, Internet Explorer 7 is fast. I mean, bang. You know, bang. The pages are there just as fast. But Google Chrome does look a bit better, but it might take a while to get used to it. Mm-hmm. But Google Chrome doesn't do this.
No, it doesn't. Okay. Next, we're looking at PlayStation Network's.
This is for Falclaw, who said 10 minutes ago, you have to talk about Home.
So, Home. One of my mates was lucky enough to get on the closed beta. And he said it looked quite...
You can't call it that. It's a marketing beta to try and generate hype.
Yeah, so you had to be invited.
It's like the Xbox Live beta they did for like 6 months. It's just to, you know, put it under a bit of load and see if there's any good or not.
Yeah, so you couldn't apply for it. They just email people that had a PlayStation Network access, and you got picked at random and you got put on the beta. And he got put on the beta, had a go on it. He said it was pretty cool. Next day, it was kind of like, yeah, I can't be fussed anymore. It ran out of its usefulness within the first evening of using it. Last week, he had another go on it, and it kept coming up with an error. And he said he thinks it's to do with the fact that he's just updated, and it might have actually crashed it. Found out it didn't. I went online, I've just updated, and I've had real trouble getting my PlayStation to stay connected. Found out the reason why. They've been playing around with everything.
Now, who has?
PlayStation. So,
Sony.
Yeah. So Sony's been playing around with something. I found out what it is, because now my PlayStation all of a sudden decides to start working, and a new button's appeared. The reason why his beta wasn't working, it's now open for everyone who has a PlayStation 3 to join in, not just...
him.
Yeah. The problem. This is the bit I said you'd like. I've had a look on the forums, and people keep receiving this C692 error code that keeps coming up, and everyone's going on about it all on the forums. And one guy said, actually, no, you can get past this code, you just got to keep trying. So
great, hammer the servers even more.
I was sat there, near enough falling asleep, constantly just tapping the X button. And all of a sudden, it lit up a different way. I looked through slit eyes, near enough falling asleep, while I was waiting for Sarah to get home, because we were going out to a friend's for a meal. And I got on. That took 3/4 of an hour to get on. So I get it.
Hang on, this is a PlayStation Network for normal people.
Yeah, so the
how beta, long is this going on for?
The beta has been opened now, so it's been put as an icon on the PlayStation Dash. So you click it, you install it, and then you can just log into home whenever you want, and it's just a running beta until they release it. So everyone's got it now. So it doesn't matter if you got that email, everyone can do it on the new firmware build. But it seems everyone's got the error code, and you have to hammer until you can squeeze your way on. I finally got on. Straight away, you come up with these, do you want to agree to this thing? Yes. And it comes up, and there's your character. And it's a little bit like the Microsoft one, where it's like, pick one that is closest to what you want to have finished, and then you bring it up, and you can move around with the cheekbones, and you go through all the facial stuff, then the clothing, and it's pretty limited. There's only so many clothing. And then accessories, skin color, and then you pop the character out, and he's stood in this quite nice apartment I wouldn't mind to live in, and you walk outside, and you're kind of like, ooh, there's loads of boats, but there's no one walking. You can tell straight away it's a pre-rendered environment that you can't go into. And you can it starts doing a tutorial about the controls, and you walk around, and you have this little thing you pull out your pocket, and your camera looks at it. So if someone sees you looking at your menu system, he looks like he's holding a device and he's playing around with it. So people know that you're not actually looking at them, you're actually playing with your options. So you walk around, you can move the furniture, and there's loads of other options. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm clicking here, there, and everywhere. And there's my front door. So I walk to my front door. Won't let me out. Comes up straight away saying, the content for going outside has not been downloaded. Do you want to download it? So I start downloading. Luckily, it comes up with an option saying you can do it in the background. So I let it go in the background. I have a wander around, move a chair about, play with another option, turn a light on and off, go back. It lets me load into the marketplace area. So you're going into this like big street area, and there's people playing chess, walking around. There's big TVs with people dancing next to them, and I'm kind of like, what the hell is that about? So you walk over there, and as soon as you get closer, the sound starts kicking in, and it's advertisements. So there's billboards everywhere,
advertisements for Sony's wonderful music collection
and video games and other
advertisements for Sony's wonderful game collection.
So straight away, you're in this circular area, and I had a little look around, and all the areas you want to go into, again, you have to load them. So you have to download the content to move to those areas. So I went to each door and said, yep, background.
How big were the downloads?
I didn't look in how large they were.
I mean, are we talking 100 meg or 10 meg or what?
I honestly weren't paying attention, but they didn't take too long. I literally, by the time I clicked on the first two, and then I went to the next two, by the time I came back around again, the first two had already downloaded. And by the time I'd gone into one of them, they'd all finished downloading, and they were all doing it in the background. Because when you walk through the door, it loads you into that new area. Okay. So in the middle of this area, there was a place where people were playing chess, and a few people were chatting about and stuff. So the first one I went into, cinema. So you walk into a cinema, and there's loads of posters for the new Watchmen movie, and there's a TV screen with an interview with the guy who's doing the Watchmen. So you can watch that, and then there's loads of these rooms that you can go into, which is all content that is on the PlayStation Network, which you have to download. But this, you get the streaming effect. So I went into one of them, the new Watchmen trailer, the second trailer out, and it loads, and then it comes up, and you're sat in a cinema seat, and you can see the cinema, or you can zoom your view, so all you're doing is looking at the screen. Straight away, I was a little bit put off by the fact that your face is locked. You can't look around the cinema. And I was kind of like, well, why have the environment if you can't at least, you know, it'd be annoying, but it'd be quite cool if you were in there with other people and you could find yourself a seat and you could sit down.
And you say, oh, hi, mate.
But straight away, it is just a environment for your eyes only. There's no one else in there. You're just loaded into a pre-rendered room. You can't move your head. You can't do any controls. All you can do is zoom in, zoom out, and you can exit out of the footage, and the footage just keeps replaying over and over again. So once you've watched the trailer, if you wanted to watch it again, you won't have to reload it or anything, it just loads again. So I was like, yeah, that's cool. Sarah sat down and she wanted to watch the new Watchmen trailer, and then I came out of it, walked around, there wasn't anything else interesting I wanted to look at, so I was kind of like, well, yeah, okay, that's the cinema, I watch trailers, yeah, fair enough. So I walked out. There was the bowling alley, didn't have a look at that, but there was the shopping mall. So I went into the shopping mall, and Paul next to me has just done the money finger movement, and he is 100%.
Yeah, I am paying attention, by the way.
He is 100% right. I was expecting it. Some of the shops don't sell anything yet. It hasn't been activated. Went into a World Clothing store and there was a few pieces of clothing. It was like a hoodie for 59p. And straight away I was thinking, right, okay, I love the Xbox to bits and I love Marketplace Live and I have loads of arcade games and not a single one of them I've paid for, about maybe two, because I can't be bothered. I just, some things I can be bothered to pay for, but really I'm just kind of like, I'll have a demo and I'll just play on it and I'm happy. And I thought, right, if I can't be bothered to pay for those, now fair enough, I've got some off my PlayStation, but I bought full blown games and I've only bought two of them. And one was because I wanted Warhawk because it seemed pretty cool, don't play on it very often. And the other one was Tekken 5. I had Tekken 5, I know I play on it, and I do play on it a lot. Bar that, I couldn't be can't be asked to part with my hard-earned cash on something little like that. Straight away, I thought to myself, right, well, I've got Little Big Planet. I go on the PlayStation Network quite a lot. I download all the extra costumes, and I have a list of costumes I have and a list of costumes I don't have. And the ones I have are the ones that are free, and the ones I don't have are the ones you had to pay for. Not paying a couple of quid to make my character look like a bloody shark. As cool as it might be. And I thought to myself,
shark.
Yeah, you can dress him up like a shark,
dude,
or whatever.
At least a Bigfoot.
Well, they've got all these new, they had another advertisement with a Little Big Planet in there of showing them all dressed up as Street Fighter characters. So you can have them all dressed up as all the different Street Fighter characters. Oh, now that I was tempted to, but I thought it's not gonna add.
Does it really add anything? No.
No. So I was kinda like, oh, that's cool sort of thing. But straight away it's kinda like I watched a video review of Home when it was first being created, and they were saying that you can have this, you get this apartment, but you can buy a more luxury one. But that's the question, you have to pay for it. You can have new clothes, new furniture, again, you have to pay for it. So this is hard earned cash. The difference is,
it's real money, it's not computer money.
Exactly. And there is,
if it
no
was computer money and you just had to do a couple of quests or something to get it,
yeah. Now,
like
I've,
a game,
I've always said, fair enough, this is very much like, what's that massive multiplayer game that isn't a game? It's actually Second Life. It is Second Life, you have to do exactly the same thing. But it is used as a tool for massive amounts of things. One of my friends, Deb, she's a lecturer at Bristol University for doing statistics, and they got it set up as a way for a virtual reality for people to come and ask questions about their mathematic problems and stuff like that. And they have classrooms built and messaging areas.
Haven't people heard of flipping email? It's free. It's 30 years old. It works fine.
It's just a project that they're doing, so she can actually be there in the class.
Sounds like an excuse to have a big Skype, if you ask me. Well, I'm going to hold my... I'm going to hold my meetings in World of Warcraft. I'll see you in the Champions Hall.
Okay. But yeah, that
I'm going for an interview for a job. They insist on interviewing me in World of Warcraft. I'll send my character there. Yeah.
But one point is, you know,
what's wrong with email? Seriously, if I want to ask somebody something, I'll send them. Look,
it's a project.
There, I clicked on new email. There's my email.
It's just a project. They're just using it as an example of what the reason why people use Home Life. What I'm saying is the reason why you would use Home. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think I would, by the sound of it.
No,
you load into it, and you walk around, and it's like, yeah. I mean, you know what I think about the avatars on the Xbox? They're nice, but you know, I don't really care if they're there or not.
Yeah.
You know, the interface works fine. You don't need the avatar there. I don't want a 3D environment to walk around in, because the fact is, wow, it's really cool and having a 3D interface and you can walk around and find stuff. Or I can just press left twice and there's my option I'm looking for.
Exactly.
You know, it's like they try and come up with these really intuitive user interfaces which are 3D, and all it reminds me of is Microsoft Bob. Seriously. Now you've got, I mean, back then it was 2D, but it was like a real room and you had it all laid out, and your calendar, you had to find the calendar on the screen and click on it.
Now,
and then the dog would go, rah, rah, are you trying to write a letter? Rah.
Now, fair enough. One thing it does bring is the fact that you can...
Could just press a button and go to what I'm looking for.
It's a virtual chat room where you can walk around and it allows you to interface with the games and bring that group of people in, so you don't have to be your friends. Where you do the same thing on the Xbox, but you do it with your friends. So you've got a group of friends.
Hi, friend.
And then, like, I'm there with Mark and a few other guys, and then Andy comes on, and I quickly say, quick, join this party, and we're like, right, we're all going to go play Grand Theft Auto. So we moved the party.
Oh, you never invite me to play Grand Theft Auto.
You're already there. You know what I mean? It's the...
You don't invite me to play, man.
I don't play very often anyway. But you know what I mean? It's that example. You always had to be friends. Now, they're going off the idea of these are people that aren't necessarily on your friends list, but you can grab someone from the friends list and say, join over, we've got these cool guys together, and we're chatting about this thing, and we're going to go in and do this and try and see if we can blow it up. So, yeah, I can see where they're trying to go with it. Now, there's one gate you can't access, and from the looks of it, that goes out to...
It's a level 80 dungeon.
So it goes out to more. So it's going to expand, but until I see where it's going to expand, I'm not holding my breath. Nice idea, great interface. This could be the future of gaming.
Nice idea, nice to have something there, but I mean, come on. You can... Okay, say I want to watch a video. I go out of my little house, I turn down the street, I go into the cinema, I look around and find the one I want to watch. Or I could just press up, right... A down two times A in the space of 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang. There's my video I want to watch. That's what I want to do. I want to watch the video.
I must admit, the idea
if
is...
I want to goof around and talk to people on the street and whatever, that's fine. But, you know, putting all this microtransaction bollocks in...
Yeah, it's this virtual reality idea of...
Just have a virtual world and just have it... Don't, you know... Okay, it's nice having the content there as well. But you don't go there to look at the content. Just go for the menu. Otherwise.
If they had it working, and it was built into everything, every game from day one, and that's how a PlayStation 3 worked. Fair enough.
Oh God, I've just put this new game in my drive. I have to walk around town to find it so I can click on it.
Yeah, it for some things I can see it working really well, sort of thing.
Pain the backside.
The idea of walking around and browsing.
Enough people are moaning about the Xbox UI with the stupid avatars being in the way.
Yeah.
Let alone a whole town full of noobs going, "Hi guys, join my guild."
I think a lot of people were pushing the idea of one day you'll build this avatar. And this avatar will be a full representation of you. And in most games, you will always have this option that if you wanted to, if it wasn't really story-based, you would just use this avatar. It's just you playing this game.
I've just had the most awesome thought in the world.
Yeah.
My me playing Crysis. You have this noob come along called Nomad, and it looks like a Wii character.
That's what I mean. High-quality... avatars, and they're compatible into all games. You know, eventually it will be to the point where you're not playing as a character, you just play as yourself in a game. Now, fair enough, in first person shooters and stuff like that, if you've got your avatar and you load in, and it, all of a sudden your character is just loaded with all this gear and looks completely different, but it's the same face, and you're always playing with your mate, and you recognize his face, his avatar, all the time, even if you've never seen the real version of him. And every game you play, you keep seeing this. It'll be the same face and the same body structure and the same hair, unless he changes it. So it's that similarity. I can see where they're trying to go, but I don't know if this is it. I still got to wait until it gets out of beta. Supposedly, it's going to be released after Christmas. But I don't know if that rumor was that they were just going to release the beta after Christmas, and the beta is going to be like Google's beta, where it's just a running beta until they eventually say we're finished with it and everything's already working. There's no immediate release date. Or it could be that at Christmas, all of a sudden, it's a quick beta to get out the last lot of bugs, and then they're just going to release it and that's it. But I am curious to know what else there is going to be it, because the bowling alley, I didn't have a go. I didn't have a look at much else because I had to go out. And to be honest, I haven't bothered to go back onto it because I'm presuming that I'll have to do the other 3/4 of an hour of sitting there constantly pressing the X button, hoping to get into it. If that's not fixed soon, enough people will be bothered, because I think the only reason people are actually bothering to try and bypass this is they want to get on to see what all the fuss is about, to see what this virtual reality access point to your PlayStation is all about.
We spend an hour trying to get on, then they realize...
Trust me, you will not take long to see the content that is available. Once you've seen the content, I don't think, unless you're intending to meet up with someone,
unless you're using it as a chat room, I mean...
Yeah, you're not going to want to try and fight through the server issue. So until they get server issue, I think they really have probably shot themselves in the foot with this one. Because some people are going to get fed up with
Sony, server issues, it goes together so well.
How many times have we heard it before on PlayStation 2 on multiplayer games? The exact reason why most people have a PlayStation 2 for playing games, and then they have the Xbox for playing online.
Well, even the Xbox for online stuff, I mean, it's all, you know, a lot of it... Well, the vast majority of it is all peer-to-peer. You know, the only servers are the actual live login servers.
So,
unless, of course, it's EA, and then it's EA's server where they want your credit card details and take your money. And
but yeah, as my
don't play EA games.
As my final point is, if you have a PlayStation 3 online and you haven't updated it late, update it, try it out, download the stuff. You're going to have to really want to have a go at it, because there's a high chance that you probably won't get on straight away, but just keep clicking and clicking and clicking. I thought I wouldn't get anywhere, but eventually it will go on, hopefully. Some people have taken up to, I have heard that the longest was 3 hours of constantly trying, but I don't know if he was constantly clicking. He might have just been trying it every 5 minutes. I was sat there constantly pressing the X and about 3/4 an hour and nearly nodding off when I eventually got on. But it didn't take me that long to get through the content. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It could be a black sheep. It could be one of these things that just falls to the wayside. They are pushing big with their PlayStation Network, with all the stuff with the PlayStation 3. Like, it's all the stuff that was supposed to be there at the beginning, but they're having to strap it on later. But fair enough, this generation of consoles is all about, we'll do so much. And
it's
then
all
we'll
about not getting it ready on launch, but shipping it later.
Yeah, or changing their mind and saying, hey, it didn't work. We had a great idea, but you guys just don't seem to use it. So we'll take it out and we'll put something different in. This generation of consoles seems to be all about being able to update the console. So it doesn't feel like, ooh, I'll put that in my notebook ready for the next time we build a console. Maybe we'll put it in that time. It's more about maybe we'll put it up on next update. So I'm pleased that we seem to be able to make these consoles last a lot longer without them getting sour and bored. Because I must admit, a lot of people actually do change their consoles because they've played their console for so long, it's just got a little bit unfresh. I must admit, I did like having my PlayStation 3 more than my Xbox when I first got it, because it was different, it was new, it was fresh. Straight away, now my Xbox, it's new, it's different, it's fresh. Fair enough, I can't find anything, and I'm constantly using the
guide
because it's the same, but it'll take me a while to get used to it, and then it'll be exactly the same. I must admit, I hope they dare not try and put a button that turns it back to the old way, because I know so many people just click it and say, yeah, I've had enough of my avatar, I want to go back.
They won't do that. I think they learned their lesson from Hotmail. When they introduced the new Hotmail interface, you know, I don't know what it was, 3 or 4 years ago, so many people bitched about it that they put the old one back in as well.
Yeah.
And you could just tell they're thinking, they've all these people bitching about it, and it just, some people actually like something new, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, it takes us a few minutes to get used to it, but once we get used to it, you actually find out that the new thing works better than the old thing.
It's just you that needs to change, not it.
Exactly. Just chill, relax.
The only thing that I would change about it is what you don't like about it, is the whole idea of maybe being able to customize it to how you want to have it. You know, like you see,
man, the only customization,
Spotlight.
The only customization I want is start on my Xbox, not on Spotlight.
Yeah. But there you go. So yeah, Home, it's out. If you need to update, give it a go, see what you think. You have to have some serious patience. If you're not in a good mood, don't try it. Really don't try it. So yeah, you want to talk about your squeaker?
My what?
Your mouse.
My mouse does not squeak.
Sarah's did. It was quite annoying for a while. Eventually it wore itself in her Microsoft mouse.
Yeah, I got a Habu mouse this week. This is the Microsoft / Razer people work together a mouse which they've made.
All you need now is that gaming pad on the other side, and it'd be really nice and blue and
piss off. Find one of those. I've got a keyboard there with like 120 keys on it.
Yeah.
I don't need any more buttons. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And plus, if I had that thing there, I wouldn't be able to put my legs anywhere because the speakers are right in the middle there, so it's really awkward. Right, point about this mouse, I don't know how much it costs, because it didn't cost me anything.
Yeah, we got it on your Microsoft points thing.
Yep. So it's a regular two-button mouse with a mouse wheel. You've got your regular two-side, well, you know, it's like a seven-button mouse, but it's regular, you know, two buttons there. The buttons there are a really nice finish. The buttons feel really nice on it, yeah. Just listen to that. You've also got side buttons which are customizable. You can actually pull the panel off and put different buttons on there if you want.
Is the other panels just two buttons?
I didn't look. It might be one, it might be three, it might be ten, I don't know. You've also got DPI sensitivity buttons, which is really good. So, you're like, for example, if you're playing a first-person shooter...
And you just need to change it up a bit.
You want to... I don't know, say... Yes, say you're using the sniper scope, you want to tone it down a bit, or tone it up a bit. You can just quickly press those buttons and it quickly changes the sensitivity of it, which is cool. It feels really nice. It's a good shape, fairly big. I'm a little bit concerned about the pads at the top. They're quite small, so I'll be worried about the pads underneath of it actually wearing down over time, because they do, you know, do that. I mean, they get little dirt up in the little gap between it as well, and it starts scratching, and it doesn't feel very nice. But it tracks on, you know, virtually anything. Even the fairly shiny desk tracks on like pretty well. Mm-hmm. And what else?
Glows blue.
Yeah, you've got a blue glow thing on it, so the mouse wheel can light up, or you've got also got a blue light which goes right the way around the mouse, apart from at the top end of it. It's kind of cool looking. I normally do have it turned off. I just had it on to show Adam. The software itself, software side of it, I'm not too happy. I don't have the software installed on here, so I can't show you. But it's one of these...
Razer software.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically Microsoft did the hardware and Razer did the software. So, although you've got really high-end software, it's also really shit-looking, pokey and fiddly software.
Mm.
So it uses its own custom UI. You know what it's like. It doesn't use a regular window frame.
Yeah.
It uses its own sort of cutout.
I had the same thing with my Razer Belkin gamepad.
Yeah, and, you know, it looks cool. And so you're actually going to want to use it, and then it's just fiddly and, you know... I mean, all the options are there. It's all straightforward. You've got profiles and all this. You can switch profiles on the button by pressing that button. All that. You do all the regular fancy stuff. You can change the buttons around and so on and so on. But what's wrong with the mouse options in Control Panel?
I must admit, it's one of the reasons why I was put off when using my Belkin. Luckily, it doesn't do it on my Mac. It's forced to have all of its buttons automatically added to the system preferences, like everything else. But again, for PC users, I had exactly the same problem with the fact I had to open up a piece of software to access it. Why it can't be added to the Control Panel?
Well, the mouse window, if you install like the IntelliPoint software, which is what most mice come with, it adds an extra tab to mouse properties with all the button options and things. But this, you actually have to install the Razer software. That's if you want to change the defaults, obviously. I mean, you can still swap the left and right buttons around with normal
standard button stuff, but it's the... I'm guessing if you want to program those side buttons to do something other than forward and backwards, I have both the same side buttons on my mouse at work, and with the types of things I'm doing, the most common thing I use, which is easier to use a mouse for, copy and paste. Little one is copy, big one is paste. I do a lot of copy and pasting data from one database to another, so I find it extremely useful, the program, to do that.
Yeah, to do that you need to use the software.
Yeah, I have a Microsoft wireless optical mouse at work, and I have to use the Microsoft software that came with it to do that feature. So yeah,
which just adds into this Control Panel, doesn't it?
It
adds a tab here.
No, actually it's an extra piece of software that runs off of it. I've got it sat on the desktop.
Oh, really? Because my IntelliMouse software...
You have to remember I've got a work computer, so a lot of the options I'm locked out of.
Yeah, it sucks being a noob.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a good mouse. It's good. I would actually pay money for that mouse.
Yeah. You're happy with it, that if you couldn't have got it the way you did, you would...
Because I had the Laser Gaming Mouse 6000 before, and I was never happy with the left and right buttons. Mm. They just didn't... It was one whole sheet of plastic right the way over.
And you had that new mouse you got hold of as well, the wireless one, and that never...
Yeah, I mean,
you got it out of the box for Chris to play WoW on.
Yeah, I mean,
your sister's laptop.
My sister's taking it home for her stuff, because
it just wasn't...
The laser was off to the side. Yeah. So how I use a mouse, I don't always... I sometimes also just twist it and things like that, and so it was totally out from being on the side, and it would just move.
Where you're rotating the mouse, it actually moves quite a lot of distance instead of the standard position of what you're used to.
I do like sort of funny things like that. I mean, the laser sensor isn't centered, but so far I've not come across any issues with it being slightly like down to the bottom end of the mouse. What else to report? It's good. Like I said, I'm concerned about the pads underneath. I'm getting worn down a bit because that does tend to happen. The buttons feel nice. Mouse wheel feels nice. It's not a side-scrolling mouse wheel.
Okay.
Which my last one wasn't either, but that's okay. Because, I mean, honestly, I don't use Excel that much.
It doesn't work with everything, unfortunately. I've got...
Well, it works anything when you've got a scroll... If you've got a scroll bar, it will work with it because it's just, you know...
Yeah, mine doesn't. Mine doesn't do it with everything. Some programs it picks and some programs it doesn't. But yeah, no, that's quite nice.
Good mouse.
Mouse wheel looks nice and chunky like the one I've got on my Belkin. But, yeah.
Out of 5, I would give it a 4. Reasons being the pads, the software...
hold it back, but apart from that, it's...
Yeah, I mean, why... I mean, they try and make the software seem cool and like by making it green and black and...
Yeah.
But I mean, come on.
Razor for you. I must admit,
I want it nice and big, nice contrast, easy to read and see so I can quickly see it at a glance. Bang, that's what I need. Bang, bang, bang. Because you actually have to read it.
Yeah, they're trying to give you that Razor experience. Most of it, Paul's let me put in my hand and I find that...
It's a really nice size mouse.
Yeah, and it's got the nice arc for your hand to be curved around it. And it's large enough that you don't feel like you half your hand's dragging on the bloody mouse mat. Where mine is, it feels like it's always sloping. Which is, you feel like you're doing that, not that.
Took a couple of days to get used to it.
It is a right-handed mouse, though. But it's not made... Just. It's not madely screaming right-handed. I think you could probably get away left-handed with that quite easily. Compared...
Yeah, I mean, compared to like some of the other mice, it is a lot more... You know, it's not as much of a curve on it.
Yeah.
For left and right, but... I mean, a lot of lefties use a right hand for a mouse anyway.
Yeah, I can use a left hand or right hand for a mouse. I spent all of last year doing everything left-handed on a mouse, even to the point of playing... I play WoW first-person shooters all with a left-hand mouse. And I was even using a right-handed mouse in my left hand and using... My little pinkies for using the side buttons.
Fingers.
Yeah. What's that finger called?
Third one down. 2, 3. The one which is the second biggest finger.
Yeah.
But apparently, if you're homosexual, that finger is actually shorter than that one.
It all depends on which way you hold your wrist. It actually changes shape because the finger goes all the way down to your wrist.
Yeah, just because yours... Yeah.
It goes down to... Because your fingers go all the way down to your wrist. They don't stop at the top of your hand. Your fingers actually go through your hand. The bones.
Dude, my fingers don't change how long they are. No matter how I hold it. Yeah, they're still the same length. Dude, my fingers aren't changing. Adam at the moment, he's got his hand out and he's trying to... fidget to try and make his fingers different lengths.
Let's see, look. Which one's longer?
That one. That one. No, you're trying to stretch your finger out. I can see you doing it.
It's just the way it looks.
Nah, it's just your imagination.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I just...
Your fingers don't change how long they are.
Just thought it was positioned where the bones were. So yeah, I've...
You
I've
can stretch like your finger if you want, but...
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt...
I thought it was more like that. As you move your wrists around, your fingers are pushing more.
Well, that's just because you're moving your fingers one way or the other.
Yeah, I know it's always longer. Yeah, less of fingers. I quite like it. Good gaming mouse. It's nice and wide.
It's bigger than the Laser Mouse 6000, whatever it is.
Nice and chunky at the front end. It's got a nice wide front end, so you're not feeling like your fingers are sliding off the end, and you're pushing the buttons on the ends instead.
The only thing is the name of it, Habu.
Yeah.
I mean, Habu. And what's that? Something like the... Is it from the Naboo or something? The only thing I would change is have a hardware button to turn the goddamn lights off.
What's that switch that's just underneath there?
That is to release the side panel. That is to change the profiles. But right. It only seems to work if I've got the software right. So if you boot up your computer, it turns on blue the second the USB has power by default.
Yeah, exactly the same with mine, but mine doesn't have a software option to turn the light off on the gaming pad. It's actually a physical switch.
Yeah, physical switch would be nice.
But then it has got really chunky pads, and it's not designed to slide around where yours is. So yeah, I suppose it was a compromise of, do you have a physical Switch? Where would you put the physical Switch so it's not getting caught? But there you go.
Meh, good mouse.
Yeah.
Games I've been playing it with, I've been playing Crisis Wars lately. There it is there. I would run it, but I don't want to break the computer. Crisis War came free with Crisis Warhead.
Yeah, last time you talked about it, you hadn't actually got it out of the box.
No, I didn't even know it was in there, to be honest.
What do you think? Comparisons to Crisis multiplayer?
I never did Crisis multiplayer apart from the LAN. And that was obviously against opposition who weren't real opposition in that. It was just no contest. But I've done this online. Let me think. It's good. I'll get that out of the way. So I've not done an online first-person shooter since Team Fortress 2, which I played for about a week.
Yeah.
And then got bored with. Before that, the game I hardcore was Battlefield 2.
Yeah, you were playing that quite a lot.
Yeah, Battlefield 2 was a good game. Is this set with Battlefield 2? That's the question.
It's a different type of game. But
well, it's got different, you know, you've got instant action modes, which is just like deathmatch. You've got team instant action, team deathmatch.
Yeah.
But the power struggle, I actually find, is really cool.
Similar power struggle to the first one?
Yeah, same sort of concept. You get energy by capturing these locations. There's bunkers, which are your spawn points or shops.
And there's the main bases you can't get to because the big
main base, which are all guarded with guns. And you have to get up enough points for a central base and collect enough energy to make a nuke and nuke the other person's base. That's really good. Actually, it's really hard. My team has lost all the power struggles we've done. That's because the team sucks. It's nothing to do with the fact I'm a newbie and I'm running around all over the place. You know, I spent the first 10 minutes trying to remember what button was my buy button. It's P, by the way. I was like trying all these buttons down here because that's what they used to be in Counter-Strike and stuff. But they're not anymore. So yeah, you purchase your guns in Power Struggle. Instant action, you just pick up your guns from the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Instant action's a lot faster. The maps are smaller. You know, you're constantly fighting. It's really... Yeah, it's actually really good. The maps... I don't think I've done all the maps. I think there's like 30-odd maps. So I haven't done all of them. Power Struggle maps were good. The ones I've done. Instant action, there are a couple on there which I thought... That's really annoying. Because there's some which are really open... I mean, there's one, I don't know what it's called, but there's platforms running, and, you know, you just spawn, and you're on a platform, and shit, there's 10 people all around you.
Yeah.
And, of course, you end up with snipers on these spots, being a real pain in the backside. And that's just annoying.
Does all the interface for the armor still work the same as single player? With
cloak? What, the maximum armor, maximum speed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that all works the same. Hold down the mouse wheel, move it around. You can apparently bind keys to it as well. I need to work out how to do that. At some point, because sometimes, I mean, I mainly just use maximum armor. I occasionally use cloak if I want to hide quickly, like to reload, because I know somebody's around a corner. I put that on, but you know, most people would just run with maximum armor on, apart from, you know, the odd time where I don't have speed on for some particular reason, or strength if you want to jump over a fence. Performance-wise, so performance is much better than the original Crisis. I don't think it's just because my machine is even more epic.
It's just a better coded game.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm running it at 1920 by 1200 resolution. I've got it all on. It's playable with all on good visuals. So there's four different levels. There's best visuals, there's good visuals, there's good performance, and there's best performance. So, you know, high to low, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's playable at that resolution with good visuals, which is the second highest. But there are occasions where you get a bit slowed down, so I've turned a few things down to good performance. It still looks really nice, but you know, it's a much more, you know, it's up there 50, 60 frames per second or whatever it's running at.
Okay.
Which is good. So, you know, people say, oh, Crysis, it requires this epic, powerful computer. That computer behind me, run the original Crysis multiplayer fine, granted on low, but even on low it looked good.
Yeah.
And this, the performance is even better. Load times are really quick as well. They're much quicker than they used to be, I find. They're also much quicker than the single player, because the single player environments are obviously a bit bigger than the multiplayer, unless it's Power Struggle, where the maps are quite big. So there's vehicles, you know, you can get aircraft, so there's all sorts of stuff like that you have in Battlefield. Although, obviously, to build the higher end stuff, like the tanks and stuff, you need that energy and Power Struggle to be able to actually buy any of it. You don't just pick it up from the environment,
so
like you do in Battlefield.
it adds that element to the game that if someone gets all of the tanks and you haven't got that far, the tide is going to be changed there. Where if you're both similar, you've got tanks, well, we got tanks, and you're slowly building up as similar, you've got that constant tug of war until you get the nuke. But obviously, if someone gets too far too quickly, they're really going to turn the tide and pwn the other.
Well, you don't have to use the nuke, the game will eventually just run out, and then it's whoever's got the highest energy level.
It's a bit like when I was showing you the Battlefield
2142.
Yeah, with the Titan missions, where you've got that Titan slowly getting closer and closer.
Yeah, I never got 2142. I'll tell you what, if they got rid of the goddamn...
Yeah, they got it made, it stop it being...
There's one thing I hate with EA. It's on all their games. You know, you have intro videos on games and things like that. You can skip the intro videos.
Mm.
EA games, you can't. Or you can skip all the other videos, but the EA one, you can't. And for some reason, when that video is on, it pegs your CPU usage to 100%. So it's obviously doing some weird stuff on there to try and avoid being skipped somehow.
Mm.
And I just, you know...
What is it doing?
Why? I mean, Battlefield... At least with Battlefield, you could go into the game directory and delete the video files. Mm. I had to look in the Crisis directory. There's nothing obvious in there which are videos which I could delete. So they're probably embedded in something more important. But it's just one of those things, you know, when I'm playing a game... Especially multiplayer, because I'll only play it for, you know, 15, 20 minutes when I've got a bit of time.
You don't want to have to sit and go through all that again.
You know, it's not like
I don't mind it when they do one where they lock everything. You don't get a choice. Everything you can't skip.
I don't mind it the first time the game runs.
And then that's it. Once it's finished, you can skip everything. And maybe you can't skip it all in one go. You've got to skip each video. But you just go, escape, 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 escape. Yeah, we're there. It's like when you play...
What?
Brain's gone. The new game you just started playing.
Crisis War.
No, before it last week.
World of Warcraft?
No.
Supreme Commander.
Supreme Commander. My brain wasn't working then. Supreme Commander. There's lots of videos there, and you can.
You just click the mouse. Go on. Skip. CPU isn't pegged up 100%.
Yeah.
It's not making your system slow for when you're running it in a window, and you want to, you know, multi. You're doing Sonic, and you're waiting for this game to load up, and bang, the EA logo comes up. So your system practically hangs until it's finished. It's a royal pain in the backside. You know, just get rid of the fucking... Get rid of the copy protection. Get rid of the intro videos. That's my demands. Because they're annoying. They're annoying.
Yeah.
I don't... You know, I've got 15 minutes to spend. I don't have time for a minute waiting for the intro video to get out my face.
Best intro video?
It's not like I'm 15 again and I can play games for 6 hours solid.
Yeah. Best intro of all games? World of Warcraft. It only plays the first time and then that's it, and you have to go into an option to watch it afterwards.
Yeah.
There is an intro video. Because you're new to it all, you're bringing it into the story.
New to all, show the intro video, that's fine.
Yeah, once you've seen it, if you want to go watch it again, fair enough. I must admit, I quite like watching the original Dawn of War intro, because it was a full-blown animation, it was really nicely done, and it was a good way of specking to see if I'd set the game up properly, because if that looked crap, the game would look crap. And I really did like that, it was a really good video. But I'd only watch it for enjoyment. Apart from that, I'd just skip. And the new Dawn of War ones are all done in in-game graphics, and they don't look that great, so I always skip them. But yeah, it is a partial... Sometimes it is nice to have it. But I must admit, quite a lot of games, all it is the advertisement of the people who developed.
Look, dudes, you've already got my money. Get out of my face.
Yeah, a lot of proper
games. I mean, it's really bad on consoles. It's worse on consoles, but if you're playing a console, you have to turn it all on anyway, so you're wasting 10 minutes getting it all up and running.
Yeah.
On a PC, I just want to hit the button, I want to log into multiplayer, find a server, bang.
Mm.
It's just, you know, come on, guys. Lose the intro videos, especially the EA ones, because they're a pain in the...
Yeah.
Lose it. Yeah, Crisis War, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5. Problems, damn EA intro videos... Damn copy protection.
Do you need the disc to play?
No.
That's good.
I don't even know if there is copy protection on the multiplayer one. Let me think. I don't know if there is or not. Secure ROM didn't run when I installed it.
Okay.
Like it did for Crisis Warhead.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need a CD key and a GameSpy account to play online. Which is fine, because I've got those anyway. But it's just, you know, lose copy protection. Especially, you know, it's getting to the point where I'm thinking... So I run Daemon Tools to mount images I've got on my server, which is a legitimate purpose. I download images legitimately from the interwebs, and sometimes I just want to mount them instead of burning them to a disk. I installed Crisis Warhead and it was bitching on. Secure ROM has detected that you've got hooks into this, blah, 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 blah. I have to disable that. And you know, come on. Stop giving me hassle. People are going to download the game if they want it. They're going to. Right, Spore. Last week, did we talk about Spore?
No.
How it was the most pirated game? Did we not?
No.
Okay, well, Spore topped the charts for most pirated game. Do you want to know my theory about why it was the most pirated game? Because of the goddamn copy protection on it. You can go out, spend 35 quid on the game, and have to put it with all its copy protection bollocks, or you can just download it from the internet and install it and have no problems.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd say so. It's a mixed
It's not because Spore is a good game, it was number one. It's because of the copy protection.
Yeah.
Especially because it actually received a lot of coverage in the press over it as well.
Because people wanted to get around it.
You know, games shouldn't have activation. If they do have activation, it should be unlimited. Oh. Or it should be like hundreds. So if it does leak on the net, thousands of people can't use it. But I mean, you know, give me 100 activations.
Yeah.
And when you go out of business and turn the activation servers off, release a patch which gets rid of it. You know, at least with Windows, you know, I've never had to reactivate Windows. Even though I'm constantly swapping bits and pieces out. So although activation is there, I never have to deal with it. Mm. With Spore, which they did actually change so it is unlimited activations, or they increased it to some level. But at least with Windows, you don't have this stuff running in the background as a service like Secure ROM, which hooks into the kernel.
That reminds me, I'm still actually running Spore. Still got it sat on my Mac. Because I'm not running out of space, I've never really needed to take it off. But I've not played it since.
I played it yesterday because I suspected I was going to talk about this today. I just did the cell stage for 10 minutes and I remembered. I remembered how bad it was. Even the cell stage is shit. Look, the game is shit.
I must admit, we played through that game hardcore just to get to
the end. To the space age where we thought it would all be cool. What did I give Spore? Did I give it 1 out of 5 or did I give it 2 out of 5?
So very low.
It wouldn't have been free. I wouldn't have given it free.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I like Stardock, for example, and Supreme Commander. Mm. Stardock games have no copy protection, so they've released games like
Galactic
Civilization, yeah,
two,
all that sort of stuff. And Supreme Commander, THQ stayed out of the way, and Gas Powered Games, the developers, released the first patch. Bye bye CD check.
Yeah.
Ah, no CD check. That's why I played Supreme Commander more than Tiberian Wars.
Yeah.
Because Tiberian Wars, especially on the LAN, and you have to put it on both computers, and it's like, oh, come on. And then you have to put it with the flipping EA logo on that as well.
My God, I played that game so much when you sent me over the patch to stop that. I remember when I reinstalled it again, when I put Vista back on my Mac for a while, and I actually installed it. Straight away, I'm on MSN. Paul, where's that latest patch?
So I noticed you come to me. You don't look on Google. No, let's ask Paul, because he's bound to know what the URL is off the top of his head. Let's ask Paul today. We won't look for it ourselves.
I don't even know where to start.
How about Subcom Patch? Look, I bet you. Subcom Patch. Look. Here you go. Here's a search engine.
Search hound. You can find it.
This one's called Google.
Yeah.
Subcom Patch. Oh, look. There's a website there, and it says a new patch. Right on the search engine. And look, there's the download link. Somewhere. There you go.
Cool.
There's Falcor there. God, no, 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 no. It is Falcor.
That picture of Falcor, then?
Yeah, that's Falcor and his missus, I guess. He's the dude who boosted Adam in a dungeon lately. Yeah, he looks about, I don't know what he looks like, I won't mention it because I know he gets upset, and he left the guild for a while.
Is he back?
I've got him back, yeah. I don't want to upset him too much because he is he does actually do a lot of good in the guild occasionally. Right, so that's my cob protection brand. I mean, Steam, it's cob protection, but at least I can just log in and play. I don't mind having to log in.
it's a whole system. You use Steam for your friends to play it, to get the games off,
but yeah,
updates. Everything's done through Steam. So
yesterday, or the day before, I was installing Crisis Warhead on here. Let me think which OS I was running at the time. It was Windows Vista I was running, so it wasn't Windows 7. I was running Windows Vista at the time, supported operating system. They can't argue, yeah, Windows 7 isn't supported. About a minute after I elevated secure ROM so it could install itself, system hung. And it's like, you know what? This machine's been running fine all week since I swapped that RAM out. That secure ROM just fucked up my computer. Mm. And it's like, come on, get off the system. Just get out of there. Forget it, guys. Lose it. Lose the conversation. It's just annoying PC gamers. And we're not the people to be annoying at the moment because we're starting to buy console games.
To be honest, they need to make it a way. So instead of annoying the person who buys it, they want to annoy the person who copies it.
They can't, because the person that copies it removes all the annoying things from it.
Because that's what I mean. It's like...
That's why you just
how
just
would they copy it? Do they copy it from a disk that they've got hold of, or do they get hold of the code early? Is it leaked? You know, is it
well, there's a few different mechanisms. One, somebody in the production facility sneaks the disk out early.
Yeah.
Give it a couple of hours' work, that game's cracked. It's online as an ISO with a cracked folder, or they embed the crack directly into the file so you don't have to copy the crack over.
Right. So that's the thing.
Or they just get the disk if they don't have it in a production facility and it won't leak. Second, somebody has a disk, bang, got it, ripped, copied, uploaded.
Yeah.
Seeded, downloaded, playing.
Exactly. They want to get it so that the software itself is hard to be ripped and copied, not this protection stuff.
Don't even bother trying to do it, because it's not going to happen.
They don't want to have the protection.
Any protection mechanism they create will be circumvented. End of story.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Sony with their music CDs a couple of years back where they installed rootkits on your computers.
Mm. Hated that.
And people wonder why I don't like Sony. And the fact is, you know, I'm saying you know a lot. You know, we've had in Europe and the United States, we've had these damn copy protection acts where it's illegal to circumvent copy protection. And you could get in Windows, you can press the shift key so it doesn't run auto-run. And they tried to take some dude to court because he said, press the shift key when you put in one of these CDs and it won't install the rootkit. And they tried to take him to court over it. And it's like, what planet are these people on? They're on planet Crackpot.
I actually heard someone say on TV, they're going on about people buying pirated DVDs over Christmas.
Oh, pirated DVDs? Which... ones which go straight into the film, so you don't have to go through the piggledy menu system.
Majority of the ones where it's a DVD off someone sat in a Russian cinema with a video camera filming, you know.
Are great. They just, the movie starts straight away.
Yeah. But it's
no,
like,
menus. English. Subtitle options. Play movie.
But they were saying...
unskippable intro movies.
It's highly illegal to make them, but it's not illegal, and it, you know, it's against the law to be selling them. But it's not against the law to buy them or to own them.
It's not against the law to possess such a copy.
Yeah.
Especially for a lot of people who actually buy them and don't know they're, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my dad knows somebody at work who was out, where was he? I think he was at B&Q. And somebody in B&Q was walking around selling films. You
Jeez.
Know, it wasn't, I mean, it's they were £3 a copy and they were things which weren't released yet. So to us, you know, duh, pirate. But, you know.
Some people don't.
Granny and Grandpa going around were just saying, oh, Johnny likes James Bond, I'll have one of those. You know, they don't know that, do they?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, stop giving everyone hassle. And that goes for Razer as well. Stop having hassly software. And lose the black and green theme. Yeah, you know, you may think gamers like black and green. We don't. It's really bad on our eyes.
It's not the Matrix.
Yeah. You know, imagine software developers, they don't have a white screen with black text. They have a green screen with this green scrolling text. And by the end of the day, their brains are completely fried. And they need to go to opticians to get their eyes sewn back in. God. Anyway.
Yeah, that's something
that's really our show notes, and that's my rant, though. So we'll be back next week on the 21st. weren't we?
Yes, we Adam? Were. Yes.
And then we've got 28th off.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you've got any suggestions for sending us any like cool clips from the last year to include on our episode on the 21st, send them over to feedback@gamercast.net or leave them at the blog at gamercast.net, and maybe we will do like a best of year episode if somebody can be bothered to do that, because I sure can't. What? I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
I could only put in 15 minutes of Crisis Wars.
I haven't picked up a video game. Any reason I've picked
I still haven't even got Gears of War, because I know I'm just, you know, I'm going to get it and then it's going to be sat on the shelf for a
Actually,
year.
Actually, my mate lent me Gears of War.
What?
First one. So I'm going to start playing through that, and I think I'll actually uninstall Skate off the hard drive and uninstall.
Oh, I've got something I need to announce.
I saw that up there.
Viva Pinata on PC.
Ooh, I thought that was your Xbox version.
Nah.
So what's that like?
I don't know. I've not had time to play it yet. Viva. Maybe this week it would get installed. And maybe I will play it, but it, you know, time permitting.
Time permitting.
Especially at the moment where work is just.
Yeah. Christmas and all.
Well, yeah, next week it will have died down a bit because.
Everyone would have got.
That's the last Saturday, so yeah. The last Saturday will probably be quite busy. So I'd imagine Sunday and
Monday
and Tuesday. What's
the hot thing that everyone's asking for at the moment?
A few things people are after. Wii Fits.
Again.
Professor Layton's Curious Village. On Nintendo DS. What else are people after? DS's in colours which aren't turquoise. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Wii Fit. That's still the thing.
People still after a lot of consoles sold? A lot of people still buying Wii's and Xboxes and.
Yeah, people are buying consoles. Obviously, the consoles this year are really cheap, especially the Xboxes.
Really good.
Wii's are still going, even though they're outrageously expensive compared to everything else.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's going to be a good year.
Business as usual.
Yeah. Kind of curious how long we've got before people start, the companies, the industry, start saying, we've come to the end of our generation, we're getting ready for the next one. I'm curious how many years we've got left. Maybe 3 years, do you think?
Let me think. What are we now?
2008. When did Xbox come in? First one.
New Xbox announced within 2 years.
When did Xbox One come out?
2001, United States. 14th of March, 2002, Europe.
And that was just being whittled out just as the Xbox 360 came in. Just after.
Xbox 360 was 2005.
Yeah.
December 2nd for Europe, or November 25th or something thereabouts. For
like I mentioned earlier in the show.
Or was it November 15th? I don't know. It was in November for United States.
This generation, everything's been patched and lots of updates, so. At the end of the
it'll be another 2-3 years.
Yeah, it's going to be a hardware.
When the PlayStation gets down to about 150 quid, then you know we'll know we're there.
Yeah, I think.
And when everything else is at the 100 quid mark, then they'll be thinking, yeah, we need to start thinking about getting something out quickly, because we're not making any money on these things. Yeah. 100 quid, it costs 800 quid to make.
Yeah, they're gonna have to. And it'll be weird to see what the next upgrade, if there is going to be
the Xbox Free. Will have even more epic powers. I reckon it will have at least 1 gig of RAM. I screwed it, 2 gig of RAM. It will have 8 CPUs. It will have 1 controller port.
I'm curious to see if it's going to be bigger. Would you mind if it was bigger?
Not really. I've got another 2-3 inches either side of space, so internal power supply would be nice. I still like an external hard drive which can be clipped on. I still like that, because when you do have a faulty console, you're not screwed.
Yeah.
Okay, one last item for the show notes. Adam going on about
the next gen.
About the next gen. At least people aren't calling it the next gen anymore. Because they were doing that until like a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, come console. On, dude, this thing's been out for 2 years.
It's the generation of this console. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what's next. And we're seeing a big change. We're seeing.
Dude, this show can only be about 37 megabytes in size, so don't be here all day talking.
Okay, but main points. Got Home out on PlayStation, and you've got the new interface update Microsoft to
E3 2010 next Xbox announced.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
There you go, that's my prediction.
Or what it's going to be about.
E3 next year, slimline Xbox 360 announced.
A slimline version.
That's my prediction.
You think they're going to go the same way as PlayStation?
They have to. Lose that hardware design. Mm. It's, you know, people just look at it and think, yeah, that's unreliable.
Yeah. Needs to
integrate the power supply, trim it down a bit. Mm. You know, you can do that, guys.
Because I'm curious. I really think that eventually PlayStation will try and work out a way
PS3 to won't miniaturize for a while.
No. But they'll eventually crack the way around it. Because PlayStation 3...
Well, of course
PlayStation
they will.
2 was out for ages before the Slimline came out. But then when it came out, it was kind of like, I preferred the Slimline version. I must admit,
top-loading drive? Forget it.
Oh, no, I loved it. It just felt more sturdy.
Console, under your TV, top-loading drive. Tell me where it breaks down there. It's under my TV, and now I have to pull it out to put a disc in.
I did like the more... it felt more like the GameCube, where it felt more robust to move it around a lot. Where my Xbox, and... Well, I wouldn't even move my Xbox anywhere. I wouldn't even take it anywhere now, because every time I've taken it somewhere... died, and I probably
that's an exaggeration.
You know, I did. I traveled all the way to Wales, and then when I plugged it in, it lasted half an hour, and I got through.
That's because of the power supply they have there.
So
it's this unreliable electricity.
It's mixed with sheep. I just like the whole robustness of it. But yeah,
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if Microsoft didn't do a revamp of the hardware.
Yeah, just something to look at the Elite. They did the Elite, and it's only a small...
That's the same thing.
Yeah, but they've made small changes, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Like
that,
what?
Like, HDMI cable.
Which is on all of them.
LAC.
Which, who cares?
Yeah, they change something, then they standardize it. So what I'm saying is, I wouldn't be surprised that they'll go, all of a sudden, they'll just make this ultimate new version of the Xbox.
It'll look different. Really depends.
Then it'll standardize through the series.
Slimline 360 depends on a couple of things. One, lifespan after the next Xbox comes out. Because Microsoft already said, look, within 6 months, we're going to stop making any first-party games for it. Retailers quickly abandoned it as well, and so there was no point for Microsoft to continue to do that. Mm. If they saw it had a longer lifespan of, say, 2 or 3 years after the new one out, and they wanted to really strip it down to cut costs and make it easier to manufacture, then that's what they'd do. But otherwise, if they were just going to kill it straight away, 2 or 3 years, doesn't really matter. If it's going to last 5 years, I say they need to break that down at some point and have a slimline... cheap to manufacture, a simple model.
To be honest, I can't see them making it last. The only thing that they would keep is the stuff that is not actually hardware, and that's the software, so like Arcade and the Live. I would imagine that
Arcade would transition over to the new ones, because I mean, a lot of them are just little flash games.
Yeah, so I think that's all that'll move across, and people can keep their Xbox 360, keep all their old games. If they don't want to play it straight away, a few games will still keep coming out. They can still go on Live, they can still do all this, that, and the other. And then eventually it'll all merge onto...
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell.
Still not a leader, time will tell. Right, are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, catch everyone next week.
Catch you later.